Catholic commentary. You're returning a service. Spiritual warfare. AOM clear, C, military. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 Friday show, Jess and Anita.
Sarah and Tobias, we're here.
And we're here for Family Spiritual Warfare. By the way, I think I'm going to be somewhere. We're going to be somewhere, Anita.
Yes. On
June 5th at the Gardens at Mill Creek in Bakersfield. It's hosted by the Catholic Men's Fellowship, and it starts from 2:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Me and my wife will be there giving some presentations.
And yes, give us a presentation there, and dinner is included. But it's good to be with you. Be back with all the intelligent, holy listeners here at Virgin Most Powerful.
That's right.
We got a great show for you. And
I just want to mention real quick that Bishop Olmsted on June 6th, yes. I'm sure a lot of bishops are doing it and priests, but since I'm in this diocese, he's going to be having a Eucharistic procession through the streets of downtown Phoenix starting at 6 a.m. I think it ends at 8 a.m., 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. That's Sunday, June 6th.
Yeah, for those that live here out in this area, for those that live in California or Nevada or New Mexico, why don't you come on down for the morning and celebrate the blood of Jesus. And
that's absolutely. Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi, yes.
Yeah, Cuerpo de Cristo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's pray to St. Michael. Let's get on with the show. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel,
defend us in battle.
Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil.
May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Santi Michele Arcangele, defendamus in prelio, contra nequitium et insidiis diaboli est presidium, impedit ili deo supplices de precamur tuque, princeps militiae celestis, satanam aliosque, spiritus malignus, qui ad perditione manumarum prevagantur in mundo, divina virtute, in inferno trude. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen. We want to talk about the blood of Jesus.
What a wonderful way to start our radio show.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about the blood of Jesus today. I mean, that's everything. Mm-hmm. All over my house, I have, pictures of the Divine Mercy, pictures of the blood of Jesus and different images. In fact, right in front of me, I have a picture it says the Holy Face of Jesus. And there's a prayer I pray before I do every show. It's one sentence. It goes, Lord Jesus Christ, by the love you bear us, cause the light of your holy face to shine upon us always. Amen. So that's what we want to talk about, the power of the blood of Jesus today.
Right, and it's the need for healing, and Extras recommends this 12-word prayer.
Yeah, Father Jim Blunt is a soul priest, and he wrote an article, it's called Need Healing, An Exorcist Recommends This 12-Word Prayer.
Yep.
So Father Jim Blunt, here's what he says. It's a short little article, and then we'll make some comments on it. Yeah.
So he starts with Father Jim Blunt. He's an exorcist. He's devoted to a ministry of healing and deliverance. He recently shared with us 4 steps to enable forgiveness. When ministering, he's like an experienced doctor who, after listening to patients and observing their symptoms, prescribes the appropriate medicine. But the medicines Father Jim dispenses are of a different nature. Father Jim most ensures those seeking his help to return to Mass and the sacraments, especially reconciliation, confession, if they have been estranged from the church. So those are the things, those are the two things he asks them. That's his medicine.
And by the
Mass,
way, see, that's what
sacraments,
that's
and
what
confession.
Protestants can't give. That's when people go to a Protestant, well-intentioned Protestant deliverance ministry, they can pray for you, and that's fine, and that can provide some type of emotional healing, but they can't give you the sacraments. The sacraments are those prayers that bring down the sanctifying grace from heaven into your soul and heal the soul. That's why before Mass in communion, we say, Lord, I'm not worthy to that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall, didn't say my arm shall be healed, my ankle, my stomach, no, my soul shall be healed. This is what Protestants can't give. This is why the Catholic model of healing and deliverance has been around for 2,000 years.
Yeah, and when they tell them, okay, you need to start praying, well, you know, a lot of these people are bewildered because they never had a life of prayer. There's no fixed prayers like we have here in the Catholic Church.
That's our advantage.
And, yeah, that's our advantage. We have the best of both worlds. We have spontaneous prayers and we have our fixed prayers. Where these Protestants, they have to, look in their Bible, and we do too. You know, I know I had a conversation with a Mormon. I said, so you guys, do you have fixed prayers? Well, not really. And I said, well, you do in a way. I said, you do actually. Your Bible, yeah. The Psalms, the Book of Psalms, those are fixed prayers. You're right.
But we Catholics have both.
But we have both. We have both, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of our faith.
So Father Jim Blount, he recommends increasing one's prayer life by praying the Holy Rosary daily. Him and many other saints, especially Our Lady of Fatima. He also recommends making holy hours of devotion before the Blessed Sacrament. And yet he frequently recommends a prayer that many people will be unfamiliar with. It's called the Precious Blood Prayer. And that's what we're going to be talking about the whole show, really.
Yeah.
So here's this 12-word prayer that's used by Father Blount. He's a salt priest. And he uses it and he teaches it to people. It goes like this, quote.
Say it together.
Yeah. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Close quote.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It also sounds like the Faustina's prayer. Pretty close.
Yep.
So Father Blount says it is an effective prayer of deliverance, as demons must flee from the power of Jesus' blood. And that's in Revelation chapter 12, by the way. It doesn't say that. The priest exorcist frequently recommends that people recite this prayer 500 times each day. It can be helpful to use your rosary to keep track of the number. Wow. Yeah, I would imagine you say that 500 times a day, you're not going to have a demon within 10, 10 miles of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the church's honoring of Jesus' precious blood, it reflects our certainty that Jesus gave his life out of love for us, spilling his blood for the salvation of humanity. With his blood shed on the cross, he saved us from the power of sin, death, and Satan. As as Saint Peter, our first pope, who wrote in his first epistle, and you can find that on 1 Peter 1:19, it says, "You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ,
beautiful,
like that of a lamb, without defect or blemish."
Amen.
There you go. What's more, Catholics are mystically united to Jesus by consuming his blood in the Eucharist under the appearance of wine. Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist is his body, blood, soul, and divinity.
That's why the Mass is so important. There's nothing like it.
Right.
Because that's where we get eternal life, the body and blood of Jesus. And for a few decades, July 1st was celebrated as the Feast of the Precious Blood. After Vatican II, the feast was removed from the calendar, but a votive Mass in honor of the Precious Blood was established and can be celebrated in the month of July, as well as most other months of the year. But the entire month of July is traditionally dedicated to the Precious Blood, and Catholics are encouraged to meditate on the profound sacrifice of Jesus and the pouring out of his blood for humanity.
Wow, I wish they wouldn't have taken that out.
Yeah.
I think that was something that we need, especially right now. We need the power of the blood of Jesus to fight the evils of the world and the demons that are just attacking our faith, attacking our children, attacking our families, attacking everybody in the public square. Just look in the news, and there you see it.
Yep. Well, let's talk about Saint Longinus.
Yeah, Saint Longinus.
The soldier at the foot of the cross, he stabbed Jesus.
Yes, he stabbed him in the
heart.
Tell
us a story about that.
Yeah, it says he was a centurion who pierced the side of our Lord while Jesus was hanging on the cross. Saint Longinus, who was nearly blind, was healed when some of the blood and water from Jesus fell into his eyes. So as he lanced him, the water just spilled all over the place, obviously. You'd just imagine. And then it fell in his eyes. It was then he exclaimed, "Indeed, this was the Son of God." So at that point, He believed. He was convinced. This is the Son of God. Just imagine. Mm. And you can find that in your Bible, Mark chapter 15, verse 39. And as we continue, St. Longinus then converted. At this point, he converted. He left the army. He took instruction from the apostles and became a monk in Cappadocia. There he was arrested for his faith.
By fellow soldiers.
By fellow soldiers, yeah. His teeth forced out and his tongue cut off, because obviously he was out there talking about Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of the cross.
In case you ever thought that you're persecuted, I don't think any of us have had our teeth pulled out and our tongue cut off. Right. So let's keep things in perspective.
Right. However, St. Longinus, he miraculously continued to speak clearly and managed to destroy several idols in the presence of the governor. So they had captured him, and he was able to destroy their idols because, as you know, these are demons. I'm sure that's what he was saying. The governor, who was made blind by the demons that came from the idols, had his sight restored when St. Longinus was being beheaded because his blood came in contact with the governor's eyes. St. Longinus' relics are now in the church at St. Augustine in Rome. His lance is contained in one of the four pillars over the altar in the Basilica of St. Peter. Wow. What an awesome
saint. St. Longinus, pray for us.
Pray for courage.
Yes, most precious blood of Jesus, come upon us. We'll be right back. Jesus 911.
Mother Mary, pray for us.
We cover ourselves with the precious blood of Jesus. You know, Anita, there's a lot of Catholics that use that phrase, and I've heard it, especially in Spanish circles, it's very common. And in some quarters of the Catholic Church, people, when they make the sign of the cross, they'll say, I cover myself with the precious blood of Jesus. I think we've been doing that for many years also. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why we do it, because it's very biblical.
Right.
The blood of Jesus is everything for us as it in relation to our salvation.
Yeah, and we usually do it when before a prayer or after a prayer. And when we walk into the church, we dip our hands in the holy one. I cover myself in the precious blood of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and we'll tell you, we're going to talk about why we do that.
Yes.
It's so why do some Catholics say, before they make the sign of the cross, I cover myself with the precious blood of Jesus? It's a Catholic devotional practice that has its basis in sacred scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it come? And where's it found? Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. The Bible tells us this in the Douay Rheims.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, and they shall take of the blood thereof and put it upon both the side posts and on the upper doorposts of the house, where they shall eat it. Close quote. So notice God told Moses to tell the Jews what to do. The lamb's blood that they sacrifice is supposed to be placed on the doorposts of their houses as a sign that Israelites, God's chosen people in the Old Testament, live in those homes. And what does the name Passover mean? Okay, the name Passover comes from this offering that they did. When God kills the Egyptian firstborn, he sends an angel that passes over from the homes whose doors are smeared with the blood of a lamb. And this is a sign that protects them from that avenging angel sent to destroy. The Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians 10:10, 2 Samuel 24:16, Ezekiel 9:6. And so the firstborn son to those who do not cover their house with the blood of the lamb. And by the way, this lamb prefigures Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on Calvary, which saved us from eternal death. It doesn't, those lambs back in the Old Testament couldn't save anybody. They couldn't even save themselves. They were pointing to Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. So now we go to the New Testament. So in the New Testament, we don't literally put, you know, the blood of lamb on our doorpost in any Catholic home. But in the New Testament, by faith, we apply the blood of the Lamb to the inside of our hearts. And some have claimed that God intended the blood to be smeared on the doorway in the shape of a cross. That's not a bad idea. You can bless. Yep. I've done that. I've blessed all my doors as well with the sign of the cross. And you could probably do it annually.
Yeah. You know, you, for those of you that, grew up watching the Ten Commandments, there's a scene there where they did this. So that's something that you might want to go back and look at. And it'll jog your memory of like, wow, okay, that's what Jesse and Anita were talking about. So now it makes sense. So if you see it and you're hearing it now, but maybe you see it and it gives you an idea of what happened in the Old Testament.
That's right. And there's a bishop in Nigeria, the one of the only places where they're reproducing themselves, mm-hmm. Bishop Ayo yep. Maria, the bishop of the diocese in Nigeria. Here's what he says about the blood of Jesus. It's in a book called Devotion to the Most Precious Blood. Mm-hmm. He says this: no one who is devoted to the wounds and blood of Jesus can be lost. The darts of the evil one cannot touch them, as the angel of death did not visit the houses of the Israelites marked with the blood of the lambs.
Wow. You know, and that's what we are. We're marked with the blood of the lamb through the sacraments. Through the sacraments.
And also, Anita, you know, there's a lot of countries where people can't get to Mass or get,
right.
You know, communist countries, Islamic countries. You can call upon the blood of Jesus mystically by doing the morning spiritual communion.
Mm-hmm.
You're
yes.
calling the blood of Jesus. It's a spirit. And upon you can do it throughout
soul.
The day. If you
mm-hmm.
live in a communist or Muslim company,
well, you
do
that prayer
throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the Eastern Rite, they said, Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And
oh, yeah.
The
it's called the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Almighty Father, God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's a spiritual communion with Jesus as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's also a book. It's called, it's the same book that I mentioned where the bishop, he signed off on it. It's called Devotion to the Most Precious Blood of Our Lord Jesus Christ. It's put out by Queenship Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
But it explains and promotes this practice. And also, I think that in prayers that we pray every night in the Auxilium Christianorum, Father Chad Ripperger, he has a section. It's called the
Litany of the Precious Blood.
Yeah,
the Litany of the Precious Blood.
And he actually says that's mm-hmm. he says that's the most powerful section mm-hmm. against demons that we lay people pray in those
yep.
prayers. He said that's the meat of it right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because it says, "Save us" at the end of each.
Invocation of the blood
of
Jesus.
It's just beautiful. If you would just really do it slowly, methodically, and focus on those words, it really, you can feel the transformation of your soul during these prayers. Just so beautiful.
Yeah,
and
they're found within the Auxilium Christianorum prayers.
Yes, and it's right after, yes.
Yeah, and yeah, they're called Litany of the Most Precious Blood of Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And by the way, exorcists actually use those prayers also yeah. during the rite of exorcism.
Yeah, and there's a there's some other prayers that Father Ripperger has. They're called prayers for members of the Society of the Most Sorrowful Mother. These are extra prayers, and you can find them under DeLoreans.org on that website. And they're prayers for the society, for those that pray the Auxilium Christianorum prayers, their benefactors. So this is a really good prayer, and he calls on a lot of these prayers for
on the blood of Jesus.
On
right?
the blood of Jesus, you're also praying for the bishop
Aquila.
Bishop Aquila, who the DeLoreans are in that diocese.
You're under his authority,
and it's a particular. I want to read this really quick. It says, just really quick. He says, "Lord Jesus Christ, we beg thee for the grace to keep Bishop Aquila guarded beneath the protective mantle of Mary, surrounded by thy precious blood."
Wow.
So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, he calls on. So we pray, all of us, anybody that prays these prayers, you're considered a member, and you just pray the prayers for the society, for the benefactors, and everybody that's that prays for the auxiliaries. Yes.
Remember, blood on a natural level, it carries oxygen throughout throughout your body. Without oxygen, you're dead. Without blood and oxygen, you're dead.
Right.
And so think about the power of the blood of Jesus. It carries supernatural oxygen called sanctifying grace to your soul.
Yep.
And let's take a look at Scripture. The Bible is full
of
verses about the power of the redemption of the blood of Jesus. So many verses. We'll just go through some.
Yep. Okay, so we'll start with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. It says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us."
Redemption. He saved us from being slaves of sin, and he bought us to himself. He bought us as his own.
Right.
Acts 20:28. "Take heed to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," the Greek word is bishop, "to care for the church of God, which he obtained, that's redemption, with the blood of his own son," close quote.
Wow, I wonder how many bishops know that. That applies to them.
I know.
In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it says, "Whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins."
Expiate, to pay the price or to make satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Romans 5:9. "Since therefore we are now justified," that means made a child of God, "by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." Notice, you're not made a child of God by saying the sinner's prayer.
No.
You're made a child of God by baptism, which gives you the blood of Jesus and your soul.
Right.
That's how you become justified to become a child of God.
Yeah, so anybody that's baptized is your brother and sister in Christ.
Yes.
So Ephesians 2:13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ."
It's the only way we can approach God is through the blood of Jesus. Colossians 1:20, it says, "And through him," Jesus Christ, "to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross."
Wow.
There is no peace apart from the blood of Jesus. You can't have peace with God the Father apart from the blood of Jesus.
Right. In Hebrews, it says, "He entered once for all into the holy place, taking not the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God."
Wow.
Purify your conscience from dead works. I like that.
It can only happen with the blood of Jesus, which is the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only get eternal redemption with the blood of Jesus, not with the blood of
goats.
Hebrews 10:19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus." By the way, that's the whole theology of the divine mercy, as we approach the mercy of Jesus Christ by his blood. Because of what he did for us, now we have mercy and we can approach him. That's the entire theology of the divine mercy.
He says, have confidence. I like that. Have confidence. Again, Hebrews 13, verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant."
Wow. Now, again, the eternal covenant is a new covenant. What happens at Mass, that's the new covenant. It's eternal, and it's ratified by the blood of Jesus. You can't be saved by any past covenants. And that's something that Bishop Barron should have told Ben Shapiro when he was asked, "Hey, can I get to heaven? You know, I'm a Jew stuff, and I keep kosher.
We could have had a...
Do I have to believe in
convert.
Jesus?" Bishop Barron should have quoted Hebrews 13:20 and just explained it to him. Yes, because the blood of Jesus is now an eternal covenant, and all those other five covenants from your tradition, they're all abrogated. They can't save you. They never could save you. They all pointed to Jesus, but he didn't pull the trigger.
No,
I don't know why.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
First Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says, "You know that you were ransomed from..." Here she comes.
Here she comes. The beautiful comes our one. Latest. Yes, the beautiful one.
The exalted one.
Yes. The queen of the one. Universe. I love that. The queen of the universe. Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Stick around. We'll be back.
Ora por nobis. We are back. Jesus 911. This is our spiritual warfare show with Tobias and Sarah.
Yeah, for the family.
A family, marriages, yeah. Children, single.
Exactly.
Just clergy.
basic spiritual warfare yes. principles.
Absolutely.
And the most basic is what we're talking here is the yep. blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramentally, it protects you from the devil and from the world and the flesh. And spiritually. So sacramentally and spiritually, through prayer, we must always be coming in contact consistently with the blood of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And remember, it's like anything. The holier you are, you affect people around you. The more sinful you are, you affect people around you. That's known as the mystical body of Christ. And so, whatever St. Paul talks about that what we do affects the rest of the body of Christ. Your holiness and prayer life affects those around you. Your wretchedness and mortal sin affects those around you as well. Let's continue with the precious blood of Jesus. I was going to deploy 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19.
Right.
The Bible says, you know that you were ransomed. Think about being captured by some bad guys, you know, you're kidnapped.
Yeah.
That
and
you were
in this case, the demons.
Yes.
That's
that. Yeah, there you go. Those are the bad guys.
Those are the bad guys.
That you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So it's only the blood of Jesus that can pay the price and ransom us from eternal damnation, from hell, and being under the dominion of Satan for all eternity. Only the blood of Jesus can ransom us.
Right. And people value silver and gold here on this earth, but the precious blood is much more, I mean, it's eternally valuable.
And it's funny that Peter says that because in the book of Acts, he actually says what some blind man was asking him for help.
And he says,
silver and gold. He goes, I have not, but what I have is Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, rise. Yeah. Well, why can he do that? He had authority from Jesus to do that.
There's the authority
to the bishop,
the first bishop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the scroll and to open its seals, for thou hast slain and by thy blood didst ransom men for God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation.
That's what they're singing in heaven right now. The Bible, that's what the saints and angels are singing in heaven now that Jesus is there, second person of the Godhead on his throne, and by his blood everybody was saved. That's what they're singing right now, and that's what they'll sing in eternity.
Yeah, there's that song. It just came to my mind. Worthy is the Lamb.
Oh, yeah. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, just beautiful.
Yes.
Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. What else is happening in heaven? It says this. I said to him, sir, you know, and he said to me, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. That means the persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like.
Right now.
Yeah. It says, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
And so the saints in heaven are what? Are they wearing Levi's or they're wearing tuxedos? No. What we know, the Bible says, and don't go any further than that, they look completely white. Their robes are white like their baptismal garments.
Purity. White stands for purity.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're back in that pure state like they were in their baptismal innocence.
Right.
Anita, what is this incredible bishop?
Bishop Iyo, the same bishop that we just mentioned earlier, Bishop. Let me see. I'm not sure if I'm saying this right. Atayibi, he's from Horin.
Good enough
Horin Diocese of Nigeria. He says The antics and evil machinations of Satan cannot be destroyed in your life when you live a good life and confront him and his agents. You know, who's him? The demons. And his Satan and his agents, the demons, with the same precious blood that threw him down from heaven. Talking about Satan.
Yeah, that's
the bishop talking like that. Wow, that's just... That's so sobering to hear a bishop talk about and to the grass nuts.
To the rank and file, to the blue collar man.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That he's saying, come on, lay people. The way you destroy Satan in your life,
right?
And you can live a good life is by that precious blood of Jesus. How do you come in contact with him? Mm-hmm. Sacramentally, the Mass, and spiritually in prayer, especially the spiritual calling yourself. You know, make up your own prayer, whatever you want.
Yeah.
I cover myself and my family with the precious blood of Jesus. Call upon the blood of Jesus.
Every day. On awakening before you go to bed.
And in fact, let me tell you how powerful the blood of Jesus is when you call upon it. But if you misuse the name, you can get killed.
Absolutely.
This is how powerful this prayer is.
Powerful and so serious.
Because you don't mess with this prayer.
More serious than a heart attack.
You don't call upon the blood of Jesus if you're not absolutely serious
and
humble and faithful and doing it
for
the right. Yeah.
And you call them with faith.
If you're doing it like rashly, you know,
superstitiously, then it's not.
I'll give you an example.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. This story is found in the Bible. Remember when Pontius Pilate, you remember the movie The Passion of the Christ, when Pontius Pilate, he's in the praetorium, he's on the high steps of his palace. Mm-hmm. Our Lord is there. He's been flogged. You have the rabble-rousers all around. Most of the people, I'll read it from the Bible, but also his mother and the apostles are kind of quiet. It's in Matthew 27, 24, and 25. It says this, and Pilate seeing that he prevailed nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, taking water, washed his hands before the people, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. Wow. You
just rejected it.
Yeah. I am innocent of the blood of this just man. Look you to it. And the whole people answering said, his blood be upon us and on our children.
Now that part was good.
Yeah, they would have stopped there in faith.
Yes.
His blood be upon us and on our children. But their intention for saying that was wicked.
Wicked.
So what is this called in the Bible? What they just did? It's called an oath formula. Okay. It's much like, that's why when you go to court, you better. I don't know if they still do it. I've been in court in decades. So I don't know if they still do it. But when I was a young deputy sheriff, you'd raise your right hand.
And handsome like that. I had to add that.
The looks fell apart, but that's okay. She still loves me.
No.
Okay.
You're more attractive now.
Yeah. We'd have to we have to raise our right hand, and we'd have to say, they would say, do you swear to, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I'm going to ask my kids. I don't know if they still do that. But that's called an oath formula. It's very serious.
Yeah, that is serious.
The Jews in Matthew 27, 24 to 25, they did an oath formula. But because they misused it, what did they do? The Jerusalem mob, they invoked a curse upon itself because they're calling upon the blood of Jesus, but they're doing it with wicked intentions. So they brought a curse upon themselves. They were staking their lives to their decision. And sadly, this oath formula that they took, it was rash and it was inappropriate and their hearts were evil. And so they didn't take seriously the responsibilities attached to crucifying the Son of God. So guess what? Their guilt eventually, 40 years after this, brought judgment on the holy city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. This is how serious
it is
to call upon the blood of Jesus.
Since their ancestor did that, you know, you have that ancestral line where now look at the Jews. They're all over the world. They're not united. I mean, there's always just everything going on, especially right now with the wars. They're always involved in wars trying to defend themselves. So I think,
and then there's a lot of bad ones too.
Absolutely.
Just be honest.
Yeah, George Soros is one.
I've read an article that says most of the pornography in Hollywood, it's run by Jews. Most of it, the vast majority.
Wow.
The Black Entertainment Network channel, by Jews.
It's the curse that they imposed on themselves.
Freemasonry was started by Jews. The origins of Freemasonry.
Right.
For Karl Marx was a Jew.
Yep.
And so again, that family line. There's good ones. They came into the Catholic Church, holy ones.
Right.
And then the ones that were the rabble rousers that continue. That curse continues until they come to Jesus. Until they come to Jesus.
Right, and they would have to do it. All Jews would need to do it in order to be united.
And that's
the
our hope again.
Jesus.
The hope is that St. Paul says that before the second coming of Christ, it says a whole swath of Jews will come to accept Jesus as the Messiah and come into the church.
Right, so, and include them every once in a while in your prayers, at least once a week. Yeah. Include that the Jews be converted and the Muslims.
Yes, both.
Because they're not our brothers and sisters in Christ because they're not baptized.
Yep.
So
I know. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not.
They may be people of goodwill and fellow travelers and want this, but they're not our brothers in Christ on the supernatural level. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anita, you're a nurse. Tell us a little bit about what blood does because we're talking about the blood of Jesus on a physical, medical.
Right. So the blood, it's usually a red fluid. I don't know if you guys noticed that when you cut yourself. It consists of plasma and red and white blood cells. It circulates through the heart, your arteries, your veins, the veins all over your body. The blood is a body tissue that carries oxygen. Mm. So you remember that. That's what blood is. It's considered a body tissue. It also carries hormones, cell building material. It also takes carbon dioxide and waste matter away from the other body tissues. So
kind of like what sanctifying grace does.
Yes.
Sanctifying grace does exactly that in the soul.
Mm-hmm, exactly. That's what it does.
Sanctifying grace.
When we receive the sanctifying grace.
Yeah, the sacraments give you the sanctifying grace.
We got
which
the oxygenation of the blood and then
it's pushed
to the veins to push it out.
Pushes away the sin.
Right.
Pushes away sin.
Sin.
Same theology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here she comes, the beautiful one.
Yeah, the beautiful one.
The perfect one.
The queen of the universe, Our Lady Guadalupe.
Ora
La
promis.
Morenita.
Pray for us. We'll be back. Stick around.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Are the bright new dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
We're back, Jesus 911, two
first responders.
At two first responders.
Yes.
And you know, it's called Jesus 911. Why? Because Jesus is our only help. Lord, come to our assistance. Lord, make haste to help us.
And it's the spiritual warfare.
Yep. And everybody has to take this serious because this is where we're at right now. This is the battle that we're all in. Once you were baptized, guess what? You were thrust into spiritual warfare. Hey, on June 5th, my wife and myself, we're invited by the Catholic Men's Fellowship, but it's for men and women. It's a conference and dinner at the Gardens at Mill Creek in Bakersfield, California. It's at the Gardens at Mill Creek, Bakersfield, California, June 5th. Starts at 2:30 p.m. and it ends at 9 p.m.
And my dinner's included. And there's
we'll be giving to several presentations.
Mm-hmm.
Also, for those of you that live in the Phoenix Diocese, on June 6th, I'm sure a lot of bishops are doing this. Bishop Olmsted is leading a Eucharistic procession through the streets of downtown Phoenix on Corpus Christi Sunday, June 6th. It starts at 6 a.m. and it ends at 8 a.m.
Be there, men. Show power.
Yeah, Bishop Olmsted wants all the men out there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What else do we have?
Okay, and yeah, that was it.
That was it. Okay.
That was it. Mm-hmm.
Let me read something to you that's written by a Protestant, and I'll tell you where he's right and maybe where he's a little bit off. It's called Protection Through the Blood. Well, probably most of we'll agree with. He says, protection is another benefit of the blood. This does not mean that if we chant the blood of Jesus repeatedly, we will not be harmed. Of course, you've got to do it by faith. Mm-hmm. And I think he says that. Some people have made a fetish of Jesus' blood by pleading the blood over themselves, over their houses, and sprinkling the blood here and there. It's not the chanting of the blood of Jesus that brings protection, but rather faith in what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Expressions such as some Protestants will use, the devil cannot cross his bloodline, that's not biblical, are futile unless one's faith is in the protection secured by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. It is what is behind the blood, not the mere speaking of the blood, that brings the protection. Of course, we can voice our faith in Jesus' blood, and as we do, there is power in these words. We should, however, understand that mere speaking is not sufficient unless our words are backed by real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we demonstrated that in the last segment, mm-hmm. Matthew 27:24. Yeah. The Jews chanted exactly that, and there was no protection for them and no power, mm-hmm. because they didn't believe in him.
Right.
All prayer is all predisposed on your faith and your level of holiness as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And by the way, the backup for the blood of Jesus, again, we read it before. It's found in the Bible, the Old Testament.
Yeah, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt."
So that's the biblical basis of it.
Right, the biblical. And so when the Lord sent the plague to destroy the Egyptians because of their refusal to release the Israel, he instructed his people to slay a lamb and place the blood on the upper and side doorposts of their houses so that the death angel would not come into the house because they had faith in God and obeyed his command. All that were in those houses were spared. And so that's the same with us right now. For those that are in, essentially, our church is considered the house, and
the house of God.
House of God, and us as Catholics, we're receiving the blood of Jesus through the sacrament of communion, the Eucharist. We will, you know, our chances are of salvation are very strong. Granted that we're living in the state of grace, and granted we do it with faith. Faith, that's important.
And by the way, that's why, see, when we go to the big church and we see the Eucharist, we're supposed to bring that Eucharist to the little church, which is your house.
Right.
And that's why our houses are called domestic churches, mm-hmm. because if we're receiving the Eucharist, the sacramental Eucharist in the big church, the parish, we're supposed to bring that faith, hope, and love, and that spirituality to the little church, which is your house.
Right, and just remember, you are just sending off bullets and
that's right, you're projecting.
You're projecting all these
graces.
The graces and the demons are fleeing as you come home and as you continue the life of prayer and sanctity in your home.
Absolutely.
Remember, that's your domestic church.
And, you know, at night, everybody, you can be praying for your house. At night, there's two prayers that I pray for the house. And again, this draws down the power of Jesus Christ, what he did.
It's on page.
Yeah, evening prayers here. One of them is called, this one. It's an old prayer. It comes from the Roman Missal, 1962 Roman Missal. Mm-hmm. It goes, "Visit, O Lord, this habitation. Drive far from it all the snares of the enemy. Let thy holy angels dwell therein, and may thy blessing be upon us through Christ our Lord. Amen." That's on page 57 mm-hmm. of my book.
Yeah.
And then the other prayer, I pray, remember, who gave Jesus his blood? The devil's afraid of the blood of Jesus. Who gave him his blood? Mary.
Yep.
The blood, because he had no human father. The blood that courses his veins, even right now in his glorified body, he received it from, it's Mary giving blood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what a mom does. The mom gives the blood to the son, to the children.
Right.
And look at this prayer, another prayer that we pray. Now, let's just do it, Anita.
We consecrate
our house. We do this, our final prayer. It's in my book, page 58. Most blessed Virgin, whose heart is sorrowful and immaculate, we recognize thee as the Lady and Queen of this house. Have the kindness to preserve it from any evil, from fire, water, thunder, storms, earthquakes, from robbers, wicked people, from revolutions, war, raids, from persecution and taxes, from any other evil known by thee. Bless, protect, defend, and preserve as thy personal property those who live and will live here. Keep them from adversity and misfortune, but above all, preserve them from offending God. Let not a single mortal sin be ever committed in this house. And may all those who enter it work for the glory of God, for the reign of Jesus and Mary. Let this house be forever consecrated to you, O Jesus and Mary. Let it be blessed with all those who inhabit it. Amen. And then here's the way we end our prayers. Generally, as a Romero family, we'll say, praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
We love you, save souls.
Jesus, live in our hearts.
Forever.
Jesus.
I trust in you.
Then we'll say, we cover ourselves with the precious blood of Jesus. And put on with the full armor of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, that's just standard for us. It's just calling upon the blood of Jesus. It's just like brushing my teeth every morning. It's just something that has to be done. I don't even it's so reflexive. We don't even think about it.
And people don't think about you know asking for the blood of Jesus on their homes to prevent from water, fire, thunderstorms, earthquakes, from taxes, financial difficulty. We got to pray those. It's okay. What is it? Precision. Precision and prayer. That's a precise prayer. And if we pray that every day, and we have some friends in Texas during the winter storm that they had, the snowstorm. I told them, why don't you pray the prayer, the post of the consecrating your house? And they thought, wow, I didn't think about that. And they started praying that prayer. So obviously, you know what happened with the storm.
Anita, another prayer that I would recommend for people. Somebody taught this to me like 30 years ago. It's in my book. It's on page 113.
Yes.
It's called Pleading the Blood of Jesus.
Yes.
It's
so beautiful. I pray that every morning.
It's so beautiful.
Yes. Yes. It's beautiful. And you pray for the salvation, the safety, your ministry, your marriage, your children, your relationships,
it's powerful.
Health, your home.
Pleading the blood of Jesus.
I mean, it just goes, your vehicles and your finances. And asking for blood of Jesus to cover
touch
you.
Everything.
Touch all
Anita, let's just end up. There's a friend of mine who wrote this article from Spirit Daily, Michael Brown. He says this. We'll just go back and forth. He says, by meditating on Christ's blood, by pleading it, by washing ourselves in it, we banish evil. The devil cannot take this. It's what defeated him on Calvary, drop by drop at Calvary. It's what flowed into every part of the Savior's body. And what was shed for the salvation of the whole world, it is the holiness of the soil of Israel.
He continues, and the most powerful way that we can invoke the precious blood is during Mass. Bring your problems to church. Bring your fears. Bring the afflictions of the devil causes and break them during consecration. Mm. When the priest raises that chalice or when you drink from the cup, there is your opportunity to banish evil. There is your chance to dispel problems or habits or attacks that haunt you. There is your chance to get in all your needs. Adore the blood and invoke it and cover yourselves in the power that breaks all bonds and dispels all confusion. Every drop is more potent than all the evil demons can conjure. They can do nothing in the face of it.
Michael Brown writes, plead it all day. Plead it at the first sign of evil. If you have evil in your lives, if you're hurt or confused or perplexed or frightened or sick or fatigued, take these matters to the Eucharist and dispel them. Plead that the blood of Christ washes all evil from you, and you'll find that bondages are broken and light shines and a curtain of darkness and spiritual blindness is lifted. This is why blood is seen in the Eucharistic miracles. It is to remind us of what's behind the Eucharist. It's to assure us. It's to let us glimpse... It's to let us glimpse a power that transcends the entire universe, and that's Jesus Christ himself.
Wow, and then we have that habit. Jesse and I, during the consecration, we're always praying at that point for whatever needs we might take to Mass with us that need, that we feel that we need to pray for.
We place them right there in the chalice.
Yeah, and I pray for the conversion of this country and especially our leadership because they need a lot of prayers. Yeah. To convert, just imagine if they converted. Wow, this country would be different, but it's not. And we got to pray for them because that's what Sister Faustina, the Lord's always asking her, you know, pray for the sins, for the souls that are heading to damnation. Pray for them. And that's what we need to do. We got to remember, we can't just pray for ourselves and those for our continued conversion. We got to pray for the conversion of the sinners.
Remember, this is Virgin Most Powerful Radio. She's our 12-star general. Pray the rosary every day. Yep, read your Bible every
day. The month of Mary. We should be praying the rosary every day. And
play the Divine Mercy every
day.
That's a prayer that calls upon the blood of Jesus.
Right. The Angelus three times a day, 6,
yes.
12, and 6.
Pray your St. Michael, the Archangel. Pray every day. And that way you activate the sword of St. Michael to continue delivering powerful blows to the enemy. And as St. Padre Pio says, he says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer.
Yeah, and well, it's almost at the end of our show, right?
That's right. This is our Friday show. This is the wrap-up show. And have a blessed Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, a safe one. And just remember those
who
have died for our country.
Yes.
My father was a veteran, and he fought in the Korean War.
Well, let's pray for all the veterans now that have passed away.
Yes,
eternal rest grants all the veterans, O
Lord.
May the souls of all the veterans and all the police officers that have died for our country, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. I think that's a wrap. Richard, is that a wrap? We're out.
We're out.